welcome to another episode of After the Credits. This is your
Littlest Hobo Media Spew
for January.
Hooray!
As far as the month behind, I must always remember that. Right. My name is Maureen Ann Toons of Roll3.com and QuietEarth.us, joined today by regular co-host
Colleen. Dale is absentee.
Oh, that Dale.
MIA.
Pretty much.
Apparently he has better things to do than hang out with us on a Saturday afternoon.
He's missing out on the cookies and the coffee.
I know. Those cookies are pretty damn sweet.
And awesome conversation to boot.
Exactly.
So we're going to talk about some of the stuff that we've been consuming in the last couple of weeks.
Yes.
Do you want to start?
Sure.
Where do you want to start? TV or movies or what?
TV.
Okay, let's start with TV.
Let's go TV.
Sure.
One thing that I've been sort of binge watching because there's been... like marathons on that on television is the Leah Remi project about Scientology and the aftermath,
which is fucking awesome.
That's amazing.
We're obsessed.
For something that really is kind of dry and it's not really exciting, at the same time, it's compelling as hell.
Oh, it totally is.
How messed up these people are, and the fact that she has high-ranking Scientology that like destroy people, and now they're
defectors,
and they're feeling horrible from what they've done to other people.
No,
fascinating.
Oh, it totally is. It's a great, like, it's not great television, but it's very compelling TV.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of hoping they do more because it was really good. It was really, really good.
Well, they made one extra episode kind of
thing. I saw that.
To basically talk about the season.
Yeah.
And
the Ask Me Anything.
How gutted she was feeling after the first season, how this is the worst thing she's ever done.
Yeah.
But she feels compelled to carry on. So. Yeah, I can't recommend it enough.
Yeah.
It's sort of like watching when Going Clear came out. It's sort of like, what?
Yeah.
Love it.
What else you got?
Well, I've watched, not so much recently, but I know I haven't really talked about it before, but The Mindy Show.
Oh, yeah, The Mindy Project.
Mindy Project, sorry. I was reminded of it because there's a commercial on where television recently where... It's like, you ever feel like you're invisible? And she's going around pretend like just taking food off people's table and no one's like paying attention to her. And then she goes right up to Matt Damon and basically is like sniffing his hair and he's like recoiling going, what are you doing? And she's like, wait, you can see me? Yes. Do you want a kiss? No. It reminds me of the fact that I do quite like that show because she is so horrible. Compelling at the same time. It's all about the compelling.
I've never seen an episode of it.
No,
she's pretty funny. She's got her moments.
It's definitely got her moments because you don't expect her to be the way she is, and holy crap, is she the way she is.
Yeah.
The other thing, season 4, I know you haven't talked about, you haven't seen it yet, so I can't go into Sherlock.
Oh, yes.
Season 4, but it's not necessarily my favorite season. It's still better than almost any MTV. Television.
Yeah.
And it gets really dark at some points during the season. I love it. I wish you had seen it. I wish we could completely destroy it for other people right now.
Okay, I'll promise I'll watch it before the next show.
Oh, yeah, because, dude, it's...
So good.
So good.
Okay,
so
good.
So good.
I'm glad. And I have no excuse. I will see it.
And I truly wish that Sherlock's brother, Mycroft, had his own show. Because I could watch
He's badass.
That guy endlessly, too. Like,
That's
you could
awesome.
Just have him dealing with the day-to-day politics of the UK.
And it would
and
be interesting.
Watch it. Absolutely. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You had one more.
I do. I haven't watched it. It's come up on my Netflix feed, and I keep on... I've got
Wait,
it on
it's on Netflix? Really?
Riverdale?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
It is on Netflix. I think it's one of the ones that they're releasing a new episode every week or something.
Yeah.
Until,
okay.
So I don't know if it's all on there yet.
Yeah. I think it's part of the CW thing, like the same thing they do with the 100.
I put it on my list. I haven't watched it yet.
Okay.
I'm kind of intrigued. They've done Archie. You know, Archie, Veronica, Betty, Jughead, the whole gang. Except for it's very dark. And it's moody and everything. They've, I don't know. I don't know much about it. I'm intrigued. I personally did buy the Archie in the Afterlife comic where they turned into like zombies. And I also had Archie meets Predator where Predator was killing them all. So lately I have been digging the non-typical canon of the Archie universe. I'm looking. I wouldn't say I'm looking forward to it, but I'm intrigued by what they've done with Riverdale.
I had no idea because I mean I've read Archie in passing to the point where when I saw the title of the show, I had no idea it was Archie. Okay, so I watched the trailer and I'm like, oh, that looks kind of interesting. I guess I'm not really into another teen show that's dark; just not my cup of tea. And then somebody told me it was based on the Archie comics. I'm like, where the fuck was Betty and Veronica? They weren't in the first trailer. I'm like, yeah, no, not happening for me. Sorry.
Well, you know.
Totally.
I never liked the original Betty, like the Archie series.
Yeah.
Mostly because the constant fighting of Veronica and Betty over this basically gingerhead loser.
Yeah.
Always kind of bothered me.
Yeah.
It's like.
I could get behind
both
that.
Both these girls are quality and they could literally do better.
I liked the Betty and Veronica comics, anyone. Though.
I never read those specifically.
I did for a very short period of time when I was like 14. I mean, they're for kids, really. Yeah.
And I just never really got into them that way. But you know what? For the Predator ones, where, well, spoilers, they all die horribly.
So that must come before they turn into zombies then.
Well, you know, it's a standalone. It was a 4-episode arc of basically the Predators hunting
gang
from Riverdale in a tropical island. And same with Archie in the Afterlife. Although I only ever read the first series. I never went on past that. But yeah. What was it? Jughead got Sabrina the Teenage Witch reanimate his dog. And that sort of set the whole zombie apocalypse going.
Okay, that's pretty funny. That's pretty funny. Sabrina the Teenage Witch makes an appearance in the Archie comics.
Specifically to reincarnate Jughead's dog.
Okay, that's pretty funny, I must say.
And that's my thoughts on Riverdale. I'll have more to... By next time, I'm sure I'll
watch at least an episode.
Yeah.
I've been watching a couple of things that were already on my list that we've kind of talked about in passing. Incorporated is now done for the season. That's the Ben Affleck, Matt Damon produced
That's the one about the show. Town kind of thing. Like you're in the system or you're out of the system.
Yeah, and it's the season ended really interestingly. The show loses a little bit of steam towards the middle of the season because once you sort of set up the universe, the characters... The push for the characters, the drive for the characters is just not that interesting.
Yeah.
It sort of takes a little bit of a twist towards the end, and now it ended on an interesting note. So I think if they continue on with season two, season two should be interesting.
It happens quite often. You have to set up the universe, and then you have to set up basically the actual factors that are driving people. So
yeah.
You sort of have this, that's why they're the way they are.
Exactly. And that kind of tied into like the beginning of the show, but it just kind of felt like it was dragging in the middle.
We can't all be 100 drama fests.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But I mean, it does end on, like it does pick up towards the end and it turns out to be like pretty good. So I'm happy with the way the season wrapped up. I think it's a good setup for next season. Mm-hmm. The Affair is almost done. I still can't believe they've managed to keep the show going for 3 seasons and it's still super compelling.
Oh yeah.
The season is almost over and like there's all kinds of shit going on and I kind of think Noah might be crazy. It's kind of amazing.
All right.
So the twist in the last couple of episodes has been amazing. So I'm really, really enjoying that. Taboo, which is the FX show with, Bane guy. Fucking help me.
Yeah.
I cannot remember his name. How is that possible?
McBain. No.
Yeah, fuck. Whatever.
Yeah.
It's really good. So he's basically pairing off against the East India Company, who like owns the universe.
Yeah.
There's actually a really great line where they're like, they own everything. They are God. They own the skies. You pray to them.
Yeah.
It's really impressive. And it's literally about Nootka Sound. That's what they're fighting about, is Nootka Sound. So there is some reality, baked into it. Now, I did go back and read some of the stuff about Nootka Sound, and it's not like a direct correlation, but they are playing into some real historical fact, which is kind of interesting in a weird way. The show is really dark and it's really dirty. Like, it's England, but it's dirty England. It's not like your romantic.
No.
You know, it's really
Whitechapel exists.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's really, really compelling. And Tom Hardy.
There you go.
He's really good in it. So I highly recommend that. Dan and I, in a weekend, mainlined The People versus O.J. Simpson.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, all 12 episodes or however many there were.
Where did you get that?
We streamed it on our streaming box. Like, we literally started on like a Thursday night and by Sunday.
I've heard great things about just how messed up he is in it.
It's amazing. Yeah. Like, the performances are great. Like, the drama is fantastic. Even though you know everything that's happened, it's really a compelling watch.
Thanks.
It's really good. I highly, highly, highly recommend it. And we've started watching... This is more me than Dan's doing. CBC has a new drama called Pure. I don't know if you've heard about this.
No, I haven't.
It is I'm not even joking. It is about the Mennonite Mafia. I'm not even fucking kidding.
No way.
Yes. So the show is like half in German, or the German that they speak in Mennonite communities in Canada.
Is it like a reality TV
sort No, of it's
story?
Not.
Full dramatization?
It's full on drama. So it unfolds in a Mennonite community where the pastor, who's like the leader of the community, has either, I can't remember if he's retired or just moved on or died, but there's a new guy that's taken over, and it turns out that the mob, the Mennonite mob, which is a real fucking thing, was paying off the priest to bring drugs and shit into the community. And now this new priest, they're expecting the new priest to be the same, and he's not. He's totally not having any of it.
No.
It's kind of amazing. The acting is, like, there's good actors, but the show is quite clearly not, like, huge budget. But it's really well done, and it's really entertaining, and it's about the Mennonite Mafia.
That,
like,
serious. Yeah.
Exactly, right? So I think they're like 3 or 4 episodes in. It streams on CBC, so if, you know, you're in Canada, you can stream it for free on the national broadcasting station. Yeah. So, hey,
I may have there to look that up.
It's pretty good. I mean, just watch the first 2 episodes. You'll get a sense right away for whether you're going to enjoy it or not.
Yeah.
We're totally digging it because it's just so out of the comfort zone for us.
Cool.
But that's the TV that I've been watching.
Cool.
What you got for movies?
Well, for movies, nothing.
Really? You haven't seen any movies?
If I have, I've forgotten.
So they're probably not worth mentioning.
You know, it's one of those things. I wish Netflix had you watch this, because so often things are not really they're forgettable.
Yeah.
And then at the last minute, I'm like going, oh, I have to do a media spew. And I'm trying to remember what stuck out my head. It's almost always the television shows, not the movies.
Yeah.
I'm sure I watch stuff, but nothing worth mentioning.
Yeah. I've been actually pretty busy. I've went to the movies, which is like rare. I dragged Dan out to Surrey. So we went across the bridge.
Holy cow.
To Guildford Mall.
No.
There is a landmark there.
What?
Yeah. So the old Cineplex that used to be sort of in the parking lot of Guildford Mall is now a Landmark Cinemas.
So we have 2 landmarks now?
Yep.
Holy.
And it is a very nice Landmark Cinemas. They haven't redone the lobby.
Yeah.
The lobby is still kind of worn down and but they've upgraded the theaters. And they have a couple of screens that are full on recliners. And I'm not just talking like at the VIP where the back reclines a little bit.
Yeah.
And no, I'm talking full on
lazy boy
fucking recliners.
Wow.
At no additional charge.
What?
The movies cost $12.
Awesome.
It is my new favorite thing. It is amazing.
That's worth the toll.
It totally is worth the toll. This is like, I'm so sold. It's not even funny. If they could get rid of the kids, this would be like the best thing on earth.
Yeah.
It really is amazing. And the fact that there's no additional cost is just like shocking.
Well, that's
shocking.
One thing I freaking hate about all the AVGs or whatever the hell they are.
Yeah.
Like, it's just another dollar.
Yeah, it's just another game. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So we went all the way out there to see Split, the new Sham Hammer movie.
Yep.
Because it's the McAvoy, and I will always watch the McAvoy.
You will always watch the McAvoy.
And oh my God, it's actually really good.
Good.
I mean, I was expecting good things anyways, but McAvoy's really good in it, and the movie is pretty solid.
Good.
As far as like a thriller goes. And then there's a twist. There is a twist, but it's not really a twist. It's more like a tack-on that like completely changes the movie you just watched.
Oh, so you watch it, it's complete, and then they show another sort of like view of it, and all of a sudden,
and you're like,
wait a second.
Yeah, pretty much. And I've been listening to a bunch of podcasts with Shyamalan on them, and there was a really good one. I will link to it. If you've seen the movie, it's completely spoilerful.
Yeah.
It basically like they go through everything and how the whole thing came about. And he basically had said that he didn't want to make the movie until he had a full standalone story.
Yeah.
And then it all sort of made sense. So I'll link to that podcast. So if you've seen Split, you know what I'm talking about.
Cool.
You'll want to know more. The movie is solid. As a standalone movie, it's great.
Yeah.
As a bone, like as a tie-in, it's amazing.
Cool.
I also went to the movies to see Silence, the new Scorsese 3-hour
snooze fest.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to watch. It's a hard watch. I mean, it's really beautiful, and I guess I can appreciate the moral dilemma.
You're trying.
Yeah, it's just the movie itself. It's not that it's bad. It's just kind of long and draggy in places for no apparent reason. I mean, I can't say I recommend it. It's just too long, and the performances are good, but not good enough to like say go see it.
Yeah,
I mean, Garfield is always good. Go see him in anything, and he's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I don't know. It's just mediocre at best.
Cool.
And that same day, later in the day, we went to go and see Searchers, the Canadian remake by the guy that did The Fast Runner.
Yeah.
So it's it's an Aboriginal story, but basically based on The Searchers. It's amazing. It's all shot on digital. The action is great. And the fact that they're on... the whole thing takes place in the Arctic, so they're all on sleds.
Oh yeah,
dog sleds. And I mean, they don't move that fast, but holy shit, it's really intense. Like a chase. There's a chase sequence on sleds.
Cool.
It's like the most amazing thing ever.
Cool.
It's really good. I highly, highly recommend it. It played as part of Canada's top 10, and I think it opens later in the year.
Excellent.
I finally got to see A Monster Calls. All I'll say is it's very, very pretty. It's manipulative as hell, but it's really emotional. And for a while, I was like, oh yeah, this is okay. And then by the end of it, I was totally bawling my eyes out. It was really bad, really bad. And then I saw I needed a laugh the other day. Like literally, I think it was the day after the inauguration. I'm like, I need something happy.
Yeah.
I watched Pop Star Never Stop Never Stopping. The Lonely Island movie. Because I fucking love Andy Samberg and I hadn't seen it yet. That's
not the one with Tom Cruise.
No.
No, I'm thinking of something else.
You're thinking of Tropic Thunder?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, this is the Andy Samberg movie where he plays like a pop star who was a member of a group that then breaks off to do his own thing.
I'm willing to give Andy Samberg, you know what, I like Brooklyn
9-1-1
yeah. Enough that I've forgiven him for Hot Rod and other
and see, I was just going to say, so this is not on the level of Hot Rod for me, because I am one of the people that loves Hot Rod.
We're on the teeter-totter end of scale, and Brooklyn 9-1-1 is the center point.
And I don't watch Brooklyn 9-9, but he's really, really funny. Popstar is... It has some amazing music. Like, the musical numbers are just genius. Some of the stuff is groan-inducing, and some of it is really, really funny. So I laughed pretty damn hard.
Nice.
So it's not for everybody, but man, it really, really lifted my spirits. I really needed that laugh.
Excellent.
I know you're a big reader. What have you been reading?
I have two books. One I'm not quite done yet. It's called The Big Over Easy. It's been out for quite a while. And thing by Jasper Fjord.
Yeah, because you were reading one of his other books last time,
right? Shades of Grey, which I found fascinating. Loved it. And I needed something light from the other book I read recently. Basically, nursery rhymes, criminal procedural. Basically, the crimes are taking place in a world full of nursery characters. I've read a lot of things like that from like Richard Rankin, like the Hollow Chocolate Bunnies of the Apocalypse and things like that. Sort of the same idea, but by Jasper Fjord or whatever the hell. Two Fs. Damn it, what did you do that to me for? Enjoying it quite a bit. I always like detective novels and things like that, so it's an interesting take on it. The other one is called Annihilation by Jeff Vandermeer, and it's
that sounds happy.
Is a part of a three-book set. I'm not sure I'm going to read the next two because I'm still not sure what the first book was about.
It's
sort of like this group of people kind of thing going into some area that's off limits to everyone else, Area X, and weird animals and human mutation and people turning on one another, and I'm not sure what the point was. Maybe I have to read the other books to figure out what the point is, but from the end of it, I'm like, I'm not sure what I just read. I just spent 12 hours of my life, and I have no idea what's going on here. With a title like Annihilation, I thought I'd be right on board, but I'm not sure what's going on.
Okay, I'm curious. Do you know by any chance what the other books are called?
I can look on my phone quickly.
Yeah, I'm just kind of curious. Like a series that starts with a book called Annihilation. Like, what is the rest of the series called then? Maybe that'll give us an idea.
Well, I know at Christmas when I was looking for books for my family, because I always get books for Christmas, someone recommended. First one's called Annihilation. Next one's called Authority. And I think the third one is Acceptance. It's a bit of overlap, so I can't quite read it.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So Jess, the staff member at the Coquitlam bookstore, had this in their recommended section. Screw you, Jess. I really don't know what the hell this was about.
Maybe you need to ask Jess.
Yeah, I'll hunt down Jess, all right. God damn it.
That's funny.
Yeah, so those are the two books. One book, I still have no idea what the hell I just read, and one that's basically making me happy because he's trying to solve the Humpty Dumpty murder.
Nice.
Exactly.
My goal this year was to read more than two books. I am already well on my way because I've already read two. And I'm like 30 pages into three. So, hey, I'm already doing better in 2017 than I did in 2016.
It's still January.
I know, right? I'm doing pretty good. But this means that I have been behind on my TV watching.
It's one However, or the other.
Yeah, exactly. So I finally finished the Nicholas Sparks book I started reading in like October of last year.
Nice.
It's his latest called 2x2. I didn't like it. It's not your typical Nicholas Sparks book, so I don't really know what to make of it.
What does he normally write?
Romance,
okay.
I mean, really cheesy, like Message in a Bottle, Walk to Remember,
yeah.
All Nicholas Sparks. Yeah, so like he's got a formula. This is not the formula, and yeah, I didn't really care for it. I didn't like it. And then I finally read Ready Player One, Ernest Cline's book. I don't understand what the hubbub is about.
I read it. It's okay.
I really just don't understand. I mean, it's not that well written. It's kind of actually really badly written. The references are cool, I guess, but they get really tiresome after a while.
Yeah, I struggled to finish it. It was not a favorite.
No, I don't really understand. So I fully admit that I probably am not target audience, but now I kind of understand what a book written for a guy is like. That's kind of how I feel. It's like this was written for a guy.
It's like, what was it? Cory Doctorow? No.
Yeah, Cory Doctorow.
I know a lot of people really like his stuff.
I liked Big Brother, which was one of the early books I read of his, and I
just can't really get into it. It's not sort of like, ooh, there's a new
book. No, and for me, like, if I want to read some, like, tech-infused stuff, William Gibson can't really get much better than
Snow
that.
Snow Crash.
Which I've never read. I've never managed to get through it. I started it last year or the year before, and I think I read, like, 30 pages, and it just wasn't really working for me.
I remember reading it years ago and, like, really falling into it, mm-hmm. and then I tried to read it a couple years ago because I like to read my books, and I was like, ugh.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I did start it twice, and it never really worked for me. I'll just watch the TV show.
I think part of it, at the time when I read it the first time, it seemed, like, really fresh and interesting, because
everybody's bored from it now. Because it was pretty new. Like, it was a new thing when it came out. It was sort of groundbreaking, but now it's, like, everybody's done it, so.
Yeah, now it's, like, Snow Crash. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's still...
Been there, done that.
Yeah, and I mean, I kind of feel like I need to read it, because I feel like I'm kind of missing out on something if I don't, but I just didn't really... Like, the first 30 pages just did nothing for me.
The first couple things that come out of, like, a steampunk. Okay, that's cool way to look at the world. And now it's like, oh, it's a fucking blimp. Great. Fantastic. Oh, it's a submarine made completely out of leather bellows and fucking brass. Great.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
So yeah, I know that that Steven Spielberg is doing the movie adaptation, and when I looked it up, I knew that it was a big director that was doing it, and I couldn't remember who. And I'm like, of course, only Spielberg can get this shit made, because nobody else is gonna give him the right. Like, who else is gonna be able to get the rights to all of this shit?
Yeah.
Like, it's like there's so much name dropping. I still don't know how they're going to pull it off. That thing is going to cost millions of dollars just in rights for clearance.
There you go. Spielberg, Lucas.
Well, this is it.
Yeah.
This is it. I mean, he would be the only one that could get it made. So, I mean, I'm kind of curious to see what it looks like, because I think it could be a cool movie. Just the book just didn't really do anything for me. I was like, whatever. I read it. I'm done. I'm good. And then I saw the trailer for My Cousin Rachel, and I'm like, shit, I've never read this. So that's what I'm reading now. Daphne du Maurier is My Cousin Rachel.
Nice.
Yeah. And it is what I remember from Rebecca. It's a rough read.
Well, you know what? I do have a copy. There's a couple books that I think I'm going to reread since the inauguration.
Oh,
I do have a copy of 1984 on my bookcase.
Not my favorite.
Not my favorite either, but I think I might, just because that's what people seem to be doing.
Yeah. Brave New World is, like, as far as, like, future dystopias, Brave New World has always been my go-to.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I might have that there, too. Maybe I'll do that. Invitation to a Beheading? Yeah. And what was the other, my brain just literally stopped in its track. I was picturing a book and now it's completely gone. Like, my bookshelf full of, Catch 22. I like a good, Catch 22.
Oh man. Alternative fact, man.
Alternative fact. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we have alternative facts.
You mean lies, right?
I don't think that word means what you think it means.
And regardless of how many times you say it, it's never going to mean what you think it means.
Yeah, interesting.
Or what you want it to mean, I think, is what we're getting at. But it is what it is. Well, this is what I sit down. I'm like, well, if it gets people to read a classic, who might argue?
Hooray!
Just don't burn any books along the way, okay?
Read it before they ban it.
Pretty okay. When they start banning books, like, seriously, if people aren't concerned now, maybe when they start banning books, then maybe we'll start to get concerned.
Maybe.
I don't fucking know what else they need.
People don't read anymore. We're apparently the outliers.
Not. Wait, isn't there? I'm sure they've made a couple of movies on 1984. I think there's at
Wasn't
least
there
one
at least one cartoon version or something.
Well, there's at least one TV version.
Wasn't there an Apple ad?
Yes, actually, there was.
There was. Moving from books, I do have something that never comes up for me: a music update.
I have one too. Since you said music, I'm like, I can talk about two things that I just spot. Nice.
Well, my favorite band, the band that inspired me to take up music and make horrible, horrible sounds with my terrible, terrible band, The Darkest of the Hillside Thickets. A few months ago, they had a Indiegogo campaign to basically fund their new album. And they were hoping to get about $9,000. And within like a day or something like that, they had like doubled that. And in the end, they had like about $25,000.
Oh, good.
Yeah. All their 20-year-old were broke as shit college student fans that stuck with them for 25 years now actually have money and willing to support their shenanigans. So they've been writing, recording. Chris Woods, one of my favorite artists, he had a series of YouTube videos of him painting the actual album cover.
Yeah.
It's all done. It's all ready. They're being printed as we speak. They released the album on Bandcamp, so you can now download their new album. Oh, cool. And it is, from what I hear, amazing. I haven't listened to it yet. I'm saving it for a very depressing day so I can have a happy thought, because nothing makes me happy like The Darkest of the Hillside Thickets. So their new album is called The Dukes of Alhazred. Play on Dukes of Hazzard. Album cover has them. And I think it might even be a charger, but it's green, going through space, being chased by like some sort of, I'm not sure what particular creature is chasing him this time. Yeah, go to Bandcamp, Darkest of the Hillside Thickets.
We'll link to it.
Download their stuff because they're amazing.
They're pretty awesome.
And
especially if you like music that has like a geeky bent to it or a literary bent to it, you'll want to check these guys out.
Yeah, they're very much the predominant H.P. Lovecraft inspired band in the planet. And that sounds like a list that should include one band only, but there are in fact other.
But they're genuinely like good. Like I'm not a huge Lovecraft fan, and I generally, like, they sound to me, they remind me of, when you introduced me to them, the first thing that came to my mind was like 90s. I don't want this to sound like a bad thing, like, but they kind of remind me of like a fresh 90s garage band.
Yeah.
And I really love that sound, but they're really good. And the more you listen to it, like, the music is fucking catchy as hell.
Oh yeah.
And it's really dark.
Some of it. Yeah. You listen to their first album, Cthulhu Strikes Back, I think, or was it Great Old Ones? Anyways, they made like two albums, like 2 years in a row or something like that. It sounds like it's recorded in basically a bathroom.
My favorite is the...
It's rough as hell. It's not professional. Some of them are like in the early years of learning their instrument, but now 27 years later, most of them are amazing at writing music and amazing at arranging it, and it's kick-ass. I have heard one of the songs kind of thing, but like anything by these guys is okay with me. Everyone.
Spaceship Zero is my favorite.
Oh, really?
Album. Yeah.
Yeah, 20 Minutes of Oxygen. Their video for that, very professionally done.
That is my favorite album.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Nice. It's the one that's on...
has, like, the Mass song and things like that.
Yeah. Very, yeah.
That Mass.
I have it. It's the one that I have on my phone that I listen to all the time.
Yeah, I need some Hillside. Shadow Out of Tim, their previous last album kind of thing, in my truck for about the last 3 years. I haven't taken it out. It's just been in the CD player. It's
non-stop.
There. No one else gets in there now. So, well, nice. Maybe now
I'll yes.
replace it when I finally listen to it on a day I need it.
There you go. I have three album recommendations, I guess. The soundtrack to Lion is fucking amazing.
Oh, yeah.
It was nominated for an Oscar for good reason. It is stunning. Highly, highly, highly recommended. It's been on repeat for a while for me. I was watching Graham Norton's New Year's Eve special, which included, of course I had to see it. It was Marion Cotillard and Michael Fassbender and James McAvoy on the same show. And McAvoy and Fassbender together are like my favorite like thing. So of course I had to see it. It was great. And their musical guest was Pete Tong.
Oh yeah.
Remember Pete Tong?
Yep.
And he's been touring with, his latest album is it's called Pete Tong Classic House. And he's basically, it's house music with a full on string orchestra. It's fucking amazing. So I bought the album. It's great. So Pete Tong Classic House is amazing. Cool. Highly recommended. And then, Nine Inch Nails is basically the only band that I still give money to. I buy Nine Inch Nails albums. It's true. So they had announced they were going to release a new EP, I guess in like October or November last year, which I pre-bought. And then it wasn't supposed to come out until like January. They actually sent it to the pre-buys before Christmas. So it was like the greatest Christmas gift.
Nice.
It's called Not the Actual Events. It's an EP. It's like a 5 or 6 song EP. It's awesome.
Cool.
And it's very timely and really dark and really depressing. And Reznor is really angry. And that's kind of what we all need right now.
Absolutely.
He is the salve for my anger at this point.
Cool.
I've been sort of listening to that on a daily basis, and it's making me feel a little bit better.
Excellent.
Yeah, that's my musical update.
Cool.
Yeah. And I think next time I'll talk about the Moonlight soundtrack because I just bought that and it sounds really, really great. So.
And if you're in Vancouver, they're having an actual Rare Thickets live show. And they're the opening act, so they will be done and in bed by a reasonable hour because we're all old.
I can relate to that.
It's playing at the Rickshaw. It's the Real McKenzie's like 25th anniversary.
Oh my God, the Real McKenzie's.
Yeah, which the lead guitarist from the Thickets used to be a member of the Real McKenzie's.
Oh, I didn't know that. I actually remember the Real McKenzie's.
There was
a time
when Mario Nevada, I screwed up that name. He was in like about 37 bands at once. It was crazy. Like the Thickets couldn't get do a show because Mario was in Prague.
Yeah, doing a show. Yeah,
but
that's
apparently
funny.
He's no longer with the Real McKenzie's, but they're the Thickets open. I forget who the other band is, and then the Real McKenzie's. It's at the Rickshaw, early March kind of thing, and it'll be amazing.
Are you going?
Probably not. It's Vancouver, and there's people.
Oh yeah, and because I was gonna say the women's washroom there was really shady. There's a stall without a door that I will not go
to. Rickshaw.
Yeah, it's an okay venue, but yeah, the women's washroom is really creepy.
I find it weird because I actually work with the drummer from the Thickets now, so I see him on a daily basis. Like, I'm not sure. This is weird. You don't discuss the band ever unless he brings it up.
There you go.
Otherwise, no.
Anything else?
I do have one thing. D&D.
Oh.
I played my first game in about a year.
Nice.
And I missed D&D. So I started a new character. Hopefully, I can keep it up again for a while. I played a new class I haven't played before. I played the monk. I played it as a drunken dwarven monk.
Of course you did.
And my whole motivation in life is I'm basically an alcoholic and I'm an unrepentant alcoholic. And
nice.
Everything for me is there alcohol involved? Is there alcohol here? There could be alcohol in the keep. I'm going to go in the keep. So,
nice.
Yeah. My party, the party I'm with is basically trying to steer me towards counseling. No. So,
not going to happen.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I'm enjoying that, so.
Fabulous.
Exactly.
That's it. That's a lot of stuff.
That is a lot of stuff.
So we will link to all of the stuff we talked about. Trailers, books, whatever. We'll find links for you so you know what we're talking about. And then we'll be back next in a couple of weeks with the March preview. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
March already.
Yep.
Where did the month go? It is what it is. So come on by world3.com, check out the other podcasts, check out all the links, and we'll be back in a couple of weeks. So until next time, we'll see you after the credits.
Finest girl I ever met in my whole life. Wanna take her home, make her my wife. Knew she was a freak when she started talking. She said, fuck me like we fucked Bin Laden. Ooh, oh, that girl was a freak. She said she wanted me to fuck her harder than the military. Fuck.
kind of girl, kept up on current events from all around the world. More specifically, one event, the time Osama bin Laden got shot in the head. She said, do me like that, but I couldn't track the metaphor. That said, I can see you horny like a stegosaur. That said again, your request is so irregular. She put on a beard, I started looking at the exit door. Then a turban, then a tunic. She said, invade my cave with your special unit. I said he wasn't in a cave, but there was no stopping. She demanded that I fuck her like we
fuck bin Laden. Fuck bin Laden. Fuck bin Laden. She wanted to fuck me harder than the US government. Fuck bin Laden. This girl requested intercourse to bring in a climax with the clinical efficiency of the assassination of bin Laden.
You're harboring a fugitive.
That ass.
And my justice will be punitive.
I'ma smash.
Night vision, they could see us through my GoPro. She tried to negotiate, I say that's a no-no. Now I'm creeping in her bedroom like
go, go.
She tells me to go low, then looks down and says I gotta
terrorize that pussy. Gotta terrorize that pussy.
So I did it. Provide some crazy shit. SEAL Team 69 executing the hit. She said, you finished me off, now throw my body in the ocean. I yelled Geronimo, then took some pictures for posting. The president called, he said, congratulations, Connor. I said, Mr. President, to what do I owe this honor? He said, come give me the deets in the White House garden. I got to know how you fucked her like we
fuck bin Laden. Fuck bin Laden. Fuck bin Laden.
I still can't say that I see the appeal, but she wanted me to fuck her like we
fuck bin Laden. Bin Laden.
Damn. The whole thing was just a virtual reality experience.
Pop star.